Welcome to the next episode of Comes Naturally Podcast. We are
Joe,
Mike,
and I'm Cody. Today we are doing favorites. We're doing favorite horror movies just in time for not being Halloween. We're recording this as of right now. But that's
close.
Okay.
Close. It's in the same year.
For some reason, though, in theaters, though.
It's the same year. Well,
but think about it. In theaters, they always have horror movies like in April and May. It makes no
sense. Which makes no sense, yeah.
But that's what actually, you know, made me
but
think
of this. Like, because come October, there's
going to come
be,
out like on DVD and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a Paranormal Activity movie. There's going to be a Saw movie. There's going to be
well,
all
actually,
kinds
they haven't
ones.
Made Saw in a while, but yes. But Paranormal Activity.
We actually didn't have a Paranormal Activity.
No, they did
last.
The marked one.
Yeah, but it didn't come out in October, did it?
No, it was like August or September or something weird like that.
Yeah.
Just in time for Halloween. Anyways, whatever. So today we're going to do favorite horror movies. We will discuss them as is, and we'll start with Michael today.
All right.
What is your first one you want to bring up?
First one I want to bring up is not really so much because of the movie itself, but more of the franchise that it spawned off with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Mainly because as a little kid, this came out in 84. I wasn't around till 87. So I don't remember what the first one I ever saw was, but I do know for a fact that the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie I ever saw gave me nightmares for a really long time at my age. No other scary movies ever did. Like, I didn't have a problem watching it, but like, I knew as a kid if I saw a Freddy Krueger movie, I was gonna have Freddy Krueger nightmares. So
you're all sweet. No sleep for me. All
yeah.
Right.
This movie
but
was
I totally
awesome.
Could watch the movie. The Staying movie was up. Cool. I liked them. So just simply for the nostalgic of it for me. And like I said, the franchise that it spawned off, which kind of got comedic down towards the end,
which a lot of them did.
But there's tons of great stuff from really all the Nightmare on Elm Street. You could just pick out scenes themselves too, but just the ideal of, because everybody has bad dreams. Everybody has nightmares. So the ideal as a young kid thinking that if something bad happens to me in my dreams, that's going to happen to me in real life really fucked with my head. So the first one, like I said, coming out in 84, I remember that one vividly. I want to say the first one I ever saw was Dream Warriors.
Three. Yeah. I think that's what it is. Well, you have the list, right? I think it's three. Is it three?
Well, I just have the
synopsis for
just
the first
the
one.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, you don't have the franchise up?
No.
We'll keep going and I'll look it up.
But everyone from that and even all the way up until, I forget what number 7 is called, I think it was, when Freddy was crossing over to real life.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that
so they
was
were making the movie
the,
of.
Yeah, the ideal of it was really, really cool. It wasn't executed, I think.
What?
Yeah, as well as it could have been. But I do remember thinking the new glove, Freddy had a new glove in that one, which was really fucking awesome. And then he had like the black trench coat too, and he looked super badass in it.
Well, I was always disappointed to me of the glove, talking about the glove, is like how ridiculous the glove on the original poster looked. I just pulled it up, and that's what made me think about it. Like, if you look at it, like, it's like super mechanical and creepy looking. But the one they use in the movie is like a thrown together one, but whatever. Go ahead. You were talking about that. Sorry. I mean to go on a
no,
weird
no.
thing.
But that's it, really. Just all the great one-liners. You can go back and watch them now, and obviously it's...
I forgot about the TV show.
Oh, God, man, yeah. That's rough. How long did that last?
I don't know. I'd look it up.
Not long.
Boo, 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 boo. Oh, Freddy versus Jason. God damn it. That fucking movie makes me mad still.
Yeah.
Why?
You don't know because it was god the fuck awful?
Did we see that in theaters?
Nailed it. Dream Warriors, the third one. I was right.
Yeah, so I want to say that was probably the first one I actually saw. That's my earliest memory of it. But like I said, I kind of just lump them all together.
Other than, well, we talked about this on another podcast. We were talking about how the remake, I actually enjoyed the remake quite a bit.
Yeah, the remake was awesome.
Yeah, I thought
and
it was super creepy.
Really surprised there hasn't been a sequel to that one yet.
Well, Michael Bay produced it, and he's ripe for fucking sequels, so I'm surprised. Must have not had a very good taste in his mouth from it. Oh, not enough explosions.
Probably not.
Yeah, like, explosions? No? Huh. Nope. You had hot chicks, so
fuck
nailed
this,
one
I'm
of
out.
My, yep, no explosions? I'm done with this.
So, yeah, 7, the 7th one was Wes Craven's New Nightmare. That was the one where he started crossing over into real life, all the original characters came back. I remember the really creepy thing about that one. That was, holy shit, that was 1994. So, really young when that
9 years between that and Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Especially to consider that Robert Englund came back for it.
Well, the less makeup they had to use. What's up? High fives?
Yeah.
High fives.
Old people.
High fives. Yeah. High fives. You couldn't hear them. We got high fives from everybody. It was awesome. Yeah, I do. I actually like the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise a lot. They scared the shit out of me when I was little.
I never really watched them when I was little. I think the first time I really saw them.
They didn't get them up in Canada?
The first one. Was probably when I was in my teens, so I mean they didn't really scare me as much, and I don't know, just weren't any of my favorite ones.
Yeah, my parents didn't let us watch them. We watched them. Well, my dad did. He and Gary's let us watch them, but my uncle actually showed them to me. Like he was like my gateway into awesome stuff like comic books and anime and horror movies. And then of course my best friend, like when I was growing up, him and I liked them. Actually, both my best friends when I was growing up, Chris and Alex, both liked horror movies. Chris was a giant vagina about it though, and always. Like wimped out and stuff. He's like, "Oh, it's so scary!" Like he would be like covering his eyes. I was like, "Oh my god, such a girl."
Yeah, in my family, my dad was always like, "Nope, not in this house." I'm like, okay.
Yeah, my brother
can't
was
watch
actually
it while he's home.
Very opposed to scary movies too. Like he wouldn't say he was scared. He's like, "I just don't like them." I'm like, "I'm pretty sure means you're scared." That's what that means.
Yeah,
pretty positive.
Yeah, I'm looking at the dates, and I'm kind of actually surprised because we're going back to how young I was when I first saw it. 1994 was when New Nightmare came out. I remember that one coming out really young, so I saw the rest of them at a younger age than that, which I don't really know if I should have been watching them.
Well, you were
point.
Born the same year 3 came out, according to this.
Yeah.
So, like, your first one was actually the one that was made when you were born.
Yeah, so it was pretty rough as a kid. I think mainly the biggest reason I was able to is I was raised with my uncles, so there's a big age gap.
And you got to watch whatever they watched.
Yeah, so I just kind of got lumped in with them. Not complaining at all, but it did fuck me up in the head quite a bit.
As
but,
it should, sir.
That was my first one.
First ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joseph, a little bit. Would you like to do your first one?
My first one, and the rest of them are in no particular order, but this first one is my favorite horror movie of all time.
Favorite
horror movie of all time. I would like to say my favorite horror franchise of all time, but it kind of drops off after number 3. I still enjoyed number 3. It's Alien. It's probably one of the first horror movies that I can remember seeing, and then I collected the toys. It's one of those weird movies that you look back and you go, "That how did toys come out of that that series or that franchise?" Well, I realized they mostly came out of Aliens because it was more of an action movie than a horror movie, unless you're looking at Rotten Tomatoes, and for some reason it's
not on the list at all.
Well, Aliens is
Alien. Alien is the actual horror movie.
But just the atmosphere of it is just freaking creepy. The fact that it was made back in the 80s, I don't remember exactly which
79,
year.
79, I think.
Was it 79?
Yeah.
But the technology at the time is what added to the atmosphere of it. Just the limitations that they had.
And the fact you didn't see the alien very much at all.
Exactly. It just completely added to the atmosphere of it.
The atmosphere they built in it, though, with the crazy ship, and then you see, like, the pilot with the head explode or the chest exploded and all that stuff. And
the fact that you never even know what happened to that ship. You don't, there's no, like,
there's
you
no,
know,
like,
finding
story.
Out
yep.
about,
just,
about
they,
all that
they
stuff.
They stumble just upon it. Like, John Hurt, right, falls into it. And, like, that's pretty much, like, that's where you start from. They don't, like, show, like, a pre-movie start where you see the alien ship crash or whatever it is. It's literally just like they stumble upon it, shit happens, they bring him back to the ship, and then boom, that's it. Like there's no other, like they don't even talk about it. Like they don't go back into it or anything, like find laser guns or anything stupid like that. They literally just like he gets the facehugger gets attached to his suit, and then they bring him back to the ship. It's the end you hear of it. That's the last you see of that whole thing. It's
yep, because
crazy.
Everything else is just them running from the alien for the whole entire time.
That motherfucker killing some people.
Oh, and dude, the scene where the chestburster scene is
it's fantastic.
Probably one of the most iconic scenes in horror history.
Yeah, it always pops up on, you see all the lists all the time on the internet where, like, most shocking moments in movie history. That's always up there on the list, no matter what.
And it's one of the great ones, too, because like, it's so,
it's so real because of what Ridley Scott did to the cast.
Yep.
Only, and I can't remember the actor's name, John Hurt.
John Hurt, yep. John
knew
Hurt.
What was going to happen in that scene. Yep. So when he started acting out that this thing was coming out of his chest, none of the other actors.
So what you see in the movie is actually sheer terror, because
horror on their faces.
Because they didn't realize that when he was laying on the bed, his head was the only thing sticking up. They didn't actually have an alien burst out of John Hurt's chest.
Oh, that would be so method acting.
I was really hoping that was real life. Practical effects?
Well, no, what they do is they clone him.
They don't have CGI back then. It wasn't great. So practical effects is the way to go.
Yeah.
So put an alien in a motherfucker's chest.
Get an alien.
Train him.
Somehow get an alien. No, we didn't watch a movie. It was a documentary.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Ridley Scott's like, hey, I got an idea.
Real life torture in cinema.
It's the very first snuff film that no one realizes is a snuff film. Because aliens don't exist.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Then they had to find someone to look and act like John Hurt for the rest of their life, because they died.
Highest grossing snuff film of all time.
Yeah. There was CG because they had to replace the new John Hurt's face on the old John Hurt's body. No, but yeah, they had him on the table. And if you look back at it now, you realize it's not like an examining table. It's like a big square that his body was hidden in, and his head was propped up. Mm-hmm. So when you looked at it, because it was covered up, it looked legit. I couldn't imagine, because none of the crew knew, all sorts of shit. And they're just and they had tons of cameras on it because they knew, someone would freak out, and oh man, that the look on people's faces.
And you'd be surprised, it holds up really well, because I had my wife watch these Alien and Aliens recently.
The good ones?
Yeah,
the first two. Within the last 6 months, and she's never seen them. She wasn't real familiar with them at all.
Remember when we did we sat down and watched one and two at your old place?
Yeah.
And she refused it. She left. We're like, oh, we're going to watch Alien now. She's like, nope, leaving. See ya.
So,
but Jen, you can stay and watch,
Yeah,
we have
totally
an extra seat for
you.
No, we're good.
She didn't give a fuck at all. She had no interest. But I basically talked her into watching them. So when she watched the first one, she didn't know the chest explosion scene was going to happen. And it scared the shit out of her. And I was so happy that it did, because I was like, it holds up. If you can find somebody that somehow has managed not to see about this, or seen a clip from it, or realize that, the space ball scene was a spoof from it, not know that this was happening.
What
it catches them
today?
Off guard really, really well. It's really cool.
You had the special. Oh, I'll have the soup.
Oh, not again.
Can I change mine from the special to the soup? Good call. Yeah, that was great. Which is funny, because if you don't know, that was John Hurt.
Yeah.
So he came back to do it. Oh, super hilarious. Oh. Fuck the Pepto, or fuck the water. Get this boy some Pepto Bismol.
So, Joe,
I think we're in Pluto. How do you know? Cause by the bark, dummy. Sorry, go ahead. Such a good line.
So, we talked about that one. Do you want to just kind of talk about the franchises and
the two movies?
How
do
you feel about
the two movies they made?
Joe likes three.
I think three. Obviously didn't hit on all of the things that you would have liked it to be. It wasn't a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. And there were so many, and there was a bunch of plot holes that they had to throw in there in order to get it to three. Because obviously at the end of number two, Hicks survives, and they're off in the the ship. And then you go into three, and suddenly something happened to the ship, and they are in an escape pod. And suddenly they're on a prison planet. And it's like, okay, that doesn't really make sense.
Was it a clone or something, right? No, that was the fourth one. Resurrection was the
clones. So
yeah. And somehow the escape pod crashed on the prison planet. Is that what it was?
Yes.
That's three. Yeah. I was thinking the clone was from four, because
they cloned
her and she was pregnant still. They gave birth to the human. That was awful. But anyways, so back to three.
So I think the idea of it was that they were trying to bring it back to a number one, where they just had one alien versus a bunch of people who were basically going to be scared shitless with it. And so I think on that level, I really enjoyed it. But just because of Aliens, the progression of horror movies, you have the first one, which can be absolutely scary. But it seems like after that, you lose a lot of it. And the jump scares and stuff, you kind of expect it, because you know kind of what the bad guy is. So Aliens was turned into more of an action movie than a horror movie.
Yeah.
They tried to bring it back in number three to a horror movie, but it just didn't quite feel right. And then, of course, number four just went off rails
garbage. Just so it's clear for everyone, one and two, great. Totally different films, but both amazing. Yeah. Three, I can't really remember a whole lot about three.
It's got Rock in it. Not The Rock, Rock, but, yeah. R-O-C, yeah. From the TV show. Garbage Man.
So I can't speak to that one. I remember Resurrection very well. That was
It wasn't scary. Number three wasn't scary at all. I just kind of liked, the story a little bit more. It was...
Yeah, the problem with the third one is they tried to do a horror, but they focused too much on showing the alien.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, that's what they failed at.
But they didn't, because, like, in the first one, it was so, like, such, like, they literally...
It was scary because you're... It was scary,
and, like, not
yeah.
seeing the alien and that. Speaking of which, we were, I was thinking about this when Joe was talking about it. The earlier, or last year, towards October-ish time, they released the video, like, the original test footage from it, where they actually had the dude in the suit, and, like, oh, it was so awful before they changed
it. It doesn't look scary
at all.
The
Geiger-like look, oh, it was so bad. I was like, no one would be scared of this dude, because it literally looked like a dude in pajamas with plastic glued on him.
And honestly, that is one of the reasons why they didn't show the alien so much, is because the suit itself didn't really look
that good.
Well,
it goes back to the how Jaws was made. Jaws, the original idea behind Jaws, you're supposed to see the shark all the time. It was supposed to be the main character of the movie, but because of a shitty mechanical shark that never worked, they were forced to have to shoot it in a way where...
Well, you know why, right?
Huh?
You know why it didn't work, right? Did you ever see it? So when they originally built it, they tested it in water, said that was good, but they tested it in regular water?
Not salt water?
Yeah, not salt water. So salt water getting just gummed up the muck, up the works and stuff.
But,
yeah, it's fantastic.
Blessing in disguise, because...
It worked.
The fact that, same with Alien, you only see it for a little bit, and you only see it in crucial moments where you need to see it.
It's a good point.
Because
if you look at 2
value.
And 3 of Jaws, you saw more of the shark and it wasn't as scary.
Exactly.
Yeah. They got the Deep Blue Sea, and it was a terrifyingly bad movie.
Bringing back to Alien.
Scarier than the shark in Jaws.
You were more scared of what could happen than what actually does happen. And that's a lot of scary movies where the protagonist is in Aliens is crawling through an air duct.
Yep.
And you can't see more than 5 feet in front of him. All you can see is the tracker that they have tracking him and the alien as it sits there and goes.
You see him
boop,
get closer and closer.
And you're sitting there going,
he
has to see him. And then doesn't it like drops off? And you're like, what happened? You're scaring yourself more than the movie
is. Even though 2 is more of an action film, they run into the scene where... all the Marines are
in that one room?
Yeah, in that one room, and they're like, where are they? Where are they? And
they're in the
tracker.
Room.
So they lift up the panel on the ceiling.
And the upside-down head?
And you see, like, 15 of them coming and just crawling over each other.
But yeah, and he turns his head, and there's one, like, upside-down. Like
that one's super fucked up, man. Yeah. And even for that one being an action movie, that was probably one of the scariest parts of the franchise in general, just seeing them just crawl, and they look so much better than they did in the first one, the Xenomorphs. That part was awesome.
It was awesome. And the fact you had the alien queen was super fucking badass in that one.
Oh.
Yeah. But the part from the second one that scared me the most?
Fight?
Oh, the power loader was awesome doing that. She's beating the shit out of it. I was like,
that was another toy that I had
I love that one. Dude, every one of my action figures, even if it didn't fit in there, fought with that thing.
Yep.
Fought in that thing. Yeah, it was awesome. I was saying the scariest part of the second one for me is actually the part where you see all the people like slimed up against the wall and everything. And you see like Tom Skerritt is like right there. And you're just like, oh, God, it's so fucking gross. Because they're like, and then you like see that they're like the chest bursters are growing inside. And we're like, so many more aliens.
No, the scene for me that was the scariest in number two, just after that, or a couple scenes after that, where Bishop had dropped Ripley off in order to go find Newt, and she comes back, and the ship is gone. She's like, God damn you, Bishop, you android took off without me. And the fucking alien queen somehow figures out how to work a lift, and she comes out of there, and you're like, oh!
And run down the hallway at him.
No, it was because the platform had fallen off, so it's literally a platform and two lifts. So you lift come up, you see the alien queen, and then Bishop just, you know, badass flies out of nowhere and is like, get on!
And then, whoosh!
Yeah, and it's that scene Spiky where you're like, tail. It's over, you know, they've won, and then you find out, no, they didn't.
Yep, tail, yeah, bad news, yeah, awesome.
So, Cody, what would be your first one?
I am going to do Trick or Treat. A movie I made these guys watch last Halloween.
Very, very good movie, by the way.
Yep. It is...
or series. It's a movie in all of itself.
It's,
but
yeah, one
it's
big
also,
long movie, but it's made up of... I do believe it's...
Four
main ones, and then an opening and a closing one that link them all together, because they all happen at the same time. It's pretty awesome. Which they are making a sequel for. Thank you very much. Or, not, well, I guess it's not a sequel. Another one.
Yeah.
Like Trick or Treat 2. It's not... if you watch it, not really a sequel, I guess. But it was focused around the same little pumpkin-headed bastard that was in the first one. But I loved it because it's like it's funny, it's scary, it's super fucked up with a bus full of tards. Oh my god, dude! That shit's. Oh my god. Well, that's what they said in the movie. Brian Cox called them tards.
It is true.
But it's super awesome because it's like it has like all the tropes you'd want to see in a horror movie, but not in the way you normally would see them. You know.
Oh. God, the scene where they're going through the candy and it has like razor blades in and stuff like that. Ah.
Well, the principal, remember, he's like he's trying to bury the body and it starts to move and then like he's like hitting it with the shovel. Oh, and the bone crunching. So awesome. Yeah, the candy part was awesome, and then like
there's a lot of cringeworthy moments
So werewolves are like come out of nowhere. Yeah, it's super awesome.
But it has a lot of twists to it too, which was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, like not ones you'd like this means it has these tropes, but he throws them on their head and like switches them around and gives them twists and stuff like that. And like when you think something's mundane, it actually is way worse than it actually is, you know.
Or in a couple of the stories where you think that the person that is being attacked is like a victim in it, and then you find out no, they're actually pretty much evil. They're pretty horrible people.
It's awesome. It has a ton of awesome actors in it. Anna Paquin, before she was super famous. I mean, this was right after X-Men 2, I think, if I remember the timeline properly. It was 2007, so when it actually came out, but it was actually filmed like 2 years before. Just got super delayed. And then Brian Cox, who's also in X-Men 2. That's weird. But a lot of people you'd recognize. Some people you're like, oh, I know that person from somewhere, but like super awesome. Just because the way they do it is they tell one story, like the opening story, and then they roll into the next one, and you realize they're linked, and so all four of the main stories kind of happen at the same time, and they intersect with each other. So, like, the people in this small town are, like, you see each other. Like, then it's not so much they interact with each other, but you see them throughout the whole thing, and stuff like that. It's super, super rad. And then, like, some of them do link up together, like the principal one and things like that. So I like them a lot. And I'm really excited to see what they do with the second one, because like the first one was so
When is awesome. The second one due out, do you know?
They don't have a release date yet for it. They just announced it at the screening they did last year during Halloween. They did like a special screening. A bunch of the cast showed up, and the kid that played Sam was there. Not much bigger than I expected him to be. Like 7 years, he wasn't that much. He was older, obviously, but like,
yeah.
But it was pretty awesome, just because like the way they do it is it's like those old, like horror stories you tell, like your friends or you read and stuff, and it's like those brought to life. So it was really fun that way too, because it was really scary and like I said, throws itself on its head, because like what you think's happening is not happening, and then something else completely fucking crazy happens, like
the werewolf.
Yeah, the werewolf.
Too.
Yeah. Not what you think.
No,
oh, it's fantastic.
Not at all.
Yeah. So I won't spoil that for you, but I definitely say check that one out. If you get the art book, too, I have it somewhere, not in the room we're in next door. Have it. It's super awesome, too, because they show, like, the makeup and super awesome stills of, like, Sam without his mask on and super.
And if you're
cool.
going to watch it, the DVD also has a short, Trick or Treat short
yep,
on it.
Animated
that was actually
short.
Really
yep.
good.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool as well. So that was my first one. I love it because it's super scary at some parts, super creepy. There's some really funny parts, sexy parts with the ladies.
Yeah.
So it's really fun. The ladies. As Mike would say, pussy magnet.
Where's the pussy magnet?
And where'd you put it?
If I pay you extra, you install a pussy magnet, huh?
Thank you, Borat, for showing up. So that's my first one.
Sorry.
hey, low, like sleeve of wizard. So that was my first one I picked. Michael, what is your second one you want to bring up?
The next one, and I can't really put a lot of these into like a for sure list of like 1 through 5 or whatever. But one that I like a lot, and I could still watch it, and it's intense. It's a fairly new
Pluto
one.
Nash.
Yeah, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Fucking frightening. Every time you see Eddie Murphy's career just literally getting strangled away from him, and you're like, Eddie, no! But he keeps fucking doing it, man.
He played two characters in it, though.
He plays two characters in everything. That's his thing now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, thing, though. Yeah. Except for one of your favorites, Tower Heist, right?
What? Okay.
Oh, there's, no, there's horror a movies, lot of, not horrible movies. I'm there's, sorry. There's, I got yeah. mixed up no, on yeah. our
there's
list.
There's been multiple wrong references age. To me watching Tower Heist on this podcast. And
which you saw in theaters.
I did see in theaters. Because Eddie Murphy was in it.
Yep.
And here's the problem with that movie. Eddie Murphy, fantastic in it.
For 5 minutes.
But he's in it literally like 15 minutes of screen time. And the rest of it, you get Ben Stiller doing Ben Stiller stuff. Yeah. And not the fun Ben Stiller stuff, like Dodgeball or fucking...
We're talking like Nightingale Museum,
yeah, Zoolander.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah, it's so bad.
Like, he's not playing a character. He's literally playing Ben Stiller. Like, there's like, hey, just be yourself, buddy. It's fine.
Like, did you guys ever see the Ben Stiller show? That. Like, that's the character yep. he was playing. He was playing yep. Ben Stiller playing ben in the Stiller. Ben Stiller show. It was bad.
So, no, sorry, go ahead. Your pick was not Pluto Nash.
It was not. But it horror that is... movies. Awful. Paranormal Activity.
Love it.
And, really good. And a lot of people are mixed on this. People either love it or they're like, oh, so stupid, so boring. And the reason I love it is because, one, I remember all the people that were like, was it real? Was it a documentary?
Oh, God, yeah.
And you're like, there's an alternate ending, jackasses. It's not, you can't have alternate endings in real life.
Well, I thought it was cool, speaking of the alternate endings, is like the fact that depending what theater you saw it in, they you saw you different a different endings. Ending.
Yeah.
So like I had a friend, we were talking about it. He's like, no, that's not how it ended. You saw a different movie. I'm like, no.
No.
Pretty sure I just saw it. That's how it ended. He's like, no, it's, I'm like, what? And then looked it up online, like, shoot off two endings, depending where, you know, what time you saw it or where you saw it. It was just random. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
And just the way it was done, obviously very unique. It wasn't shot like a normal movie. Shot like you were watching old home videotapes of somebody.
Found footage,
yeah. And just the subtleties of everything. And it starts off and you're like, fuck, this movie's going to be slow. But I think they're a genius in the way they did it, is they just slowly built anticipation and built it. So you're in scenes. I remember watching it with my wife, and my wife would be squeezing my hand tighter and tighter during the movie, to the point where it was like, fucking let go of my hand.
can you break a different appendage, please? I need this for later.
Yeah, like grab my foot. I don't need that one. I thought it was awesome.
I
just
love those ones.
You you could watch it over, and the first couple times I watched it again afterwards was I noticed even more things that I didn't notice. Noticed things that happened earlier on in the movie that were giving you clues that you probably most people wouldn't catch the first time around. And it spawned off some really cool sequels. I haven't seen the last one. I kind of lost my interest with the last one.
The last one's not a sequel. It's a spinoff.
Right, but I didn't watch that one. I haven't seen that one.
I heard it's really good, though.
The prequel one that they did.
Yeah, number four.
I liked it, but I felt
fucking
a little
terrifying.
Disappointed in it. But one and two.
Wait, no, the fourth one was not. No, the fourth one was the one that's in present day.
Okay, yes.
The third one was the prequel.
It's the prequel
like
with the girls.
Sure.
The oscillating fan camera. That part was awesome.
What
in the third one,
by the way.
It was rough.
Just waiting for something to happen. Nothing did.
Nothing ever. Yeah, no pop out of that at all. Nope. Like it was just strictly there to cock tease you. Like it didn't do anything throughout the course of the movie.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary movie cock tease. But yeah, the first one I like. The second one is actually probably my favorite out of the franchise. Yeah. Because it does the same thing of building up the suspense as the first one, but you know that something's coming because you saw the first one, and then how they intertwine the stories together I thought was genius. And then when something does happen in the second one, it's fucking intense. Like it's a whole lot more than what was going on in the first one. It was pretty awesome.
I love the first one due to the sheer nothing happens for like the first time, and then when it does happen, just shit goes crazy fast, like one direction. It's like literally like the slow build of this mountain, right? Like, when you get to the top, it's going to be scary as fuck, right? And then the downsides, it's going to be worse. Nope, this mountain just drops out from underneath. I mean, the powder on the floor, and then they wake up and the footprints are in it. I was like, get the fuck out of that house.
I know, you can't help but talk to the people on the screen, like, leave her, dude.
She's not
you
worth it.
You leave her, and you move very far east. Like, yep. You just keep going east. You let her handle her shit.
Yep. Just go.
They weren't even married, right?
No, boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah.
Boyfriend, fuck that. I'm sorry. But if I'm dating a chick and you're haunted, that's a deal breaker for me. Like, that's one of the things going in. If you're haunted, we can't have a serious relationship. That's a rule.
Oh, creepy shit's happening?
I'm out.
Ouija boards lighting on fire? You know what? Have a nice life.
Yeah,
I'll see you later.
Dude was totally antagonizing. How about you?
Oh, yeah. It's his damn fault he died, so spoiler. He died.
I'm actually trying to remember if I've seen number one, I think.
Well, one in...
You saw one with us.
No.
I saw two with us.
Yeah, because...
No, but we marathoned them.
Well, yeah, we watched them together.
So I didn't see
Yeah, so we've seen... Because we went and saw four after marathoning one, two, and three in the same day. Not a good fucking choice, by the way.
Not at all.
One is, let's take fucking 8 hours of movies. Like, I'm all about watching a bunch of movies, but 8 hours of movies... And
gets
just
rough.
Yeah, just, oh my God. And it was scary, and then we're like going to the fourth one, like, fuck, this is so scary. But what I was going to say is I love the fact the way they're written and the way they're put together. Like, so like one and two, if I remember correctly, one and two happen, so two happens right after one. Oh no, two happens right before one, and then four.
Or it kind of inner.
Yeah, like they kind of go together, and like towards the end, they kind of start two starts technically before one, and then by the end of two is the end of, like, they catch up to present day, and then Katie shows up and all sorts of shit.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of confusing if you haven't seen it.
Three is the prequel, and then four comes the present day, and it's all super fucked up. Like, it gets crazy, and then they give you the teaser for five, which I think comes out this year.
Yes.
Because it got pushed back because they did the spinoff, which, again, heard was awesome. But, like, it has its own thing. Like, it's not, like, part of the main story, which is pretty cool, too, I thought. So... I agree with Michael. It's super awesome. I love those movies. I like them a lot.
Yosef?
So the next horror movie that I love on my list is The Thing. I such a graphic movie.
Yep.
And it's another one of those, I don't remember when I saw it, but
fucking
I remember
terrifying.
Seeing it at, you know, when I was younger, and it probably was a movie that really did give me nightmares.
Yep.
Like,
legitimate
solid
nightmares.
Like, you know, I could watch Alien, no nightmares. I can watch Nightmare on Elm Street,
because
no nightmares.
Because that thing is literally what nightmares are made of.
Exactly.
Literally. Like, Freddy Krueger's like, hey, he's gonna kill you and eat you like a worm and drown you in your own waterbed. This thing will fucking murder you when you're awake and murder you in awful ways.
Yeah.
Splits that fucking dude in half, like, oh, mm-mm.
But the fact that you never knew who it was at any given time at all.
Motherfucker.
Just completely terrifying. Then who was in it? It's Kurt Russell.
Here you go.
One of the, you know, big actor of the time, amazing in the movie, and I just absolutely love the ending because it just keeps you guessing on who was it. Did they get the alien? Is it one of them at the end?
Is there only one?
Is there only one? Exactly.
But the dog scene was so fucking rough, dude. That goddamn dog scene still gets me. I don't like dogs as much as everyone else in this room does. That part's fucking... I don't hate dogs. I hate living with dogs. I hate noisy dogs.
The spider head is what really gets me.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That scene?
Let's bring it back to a question I asked Mike earlier. What do you think about the remake?
I actually haven't seen the remake yet.
Well, see, that's the problem.
But really, like you, we've talked about this earlier, it's not really a remake.
Nope, it's kind
of
like a prequel.
Prequel to it.
Because if you watch it, I actually liked it a lot because it's... In a way, it's the same exact thing, but it explains where the thing came from. They find a ship or something underneath the ice, and then it basically kills one of the guys, substitutes itself for one of the people on the mission, and comes back and basically starts it off. And it's at literally the end of the movie is the beginning of the first movie. But for the most part, it's kind of the same thing, so like, that's why it's sort of viewed as a remake, but like... A cool way of doing a remake, I thought, was because in fact it's a prequel, but like kind of shows you where the alien came from. Not like doesn't tell you where it came from, just they found this ship and then, you know, they're excavating it and boom, all of a sudden there's this creepy fucking.
Which is fine
alien.
By me. Yep. I'd love to see the original one. I just, or not the original one, the prequel.
I'll let you
really.
Borrow, I got it, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure you do somewhere around here.
Fuck. Goddamn.
But really, going back to Alien, that's another movie where it was so good because of the time that it was made in, all the practical effects in it, the fact that you hardly ever see the creature itself until they find out who it is, and then suddenly it disappears again, and you do not know who it is, what it is.
You don't know who to trust, because
exactly.
Like, people are still talking like themselves, sort of, like, and they're like, they're accusing you, and you're accusing them, and yeah, it's just super confusing the way they do it. I loved it.
Loved it.
And it was super fucking violent.
Yes.
Bloody as shit. Like I was saying, split in half, and the dog scene, and the fucking, oh, the spider, the head.
Spider head is just what gets me. And then they made a toy out of it. And that's another one. That one in particular, too, is
did
another
you have
one.
That one?
No, I didn't have that.
They were
one.
Less toys, more than like figurines. They were movable and stuff.
They were Todd McFarlane ones, weren't they?
Yes.
One of his earlier
yep.
runs.
Yep.
So they were super detailed, super gory, super expensive yep. as well.
So very much so.
Not something that, I mean, I would have loved a Kurt Russell, you know, action figure to go along with my, you know, Kurt Russell action figure from Stargate.
Nerd. But they didn't make a Kurt Russell action figure for Big Trouble in Little China.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
With the Porkchop Express.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the furry. Oh. And Chewbacca's, like, deformed cousin on the back of it. Been awesome.
Todd McFarlane, make it happen.
Yeah, Todd McFarlane. I wonder if they have. Mike, look that up.
Okay.
Mike looks that up, what's your next movie?
My next one is going to steer away from not horror movies, obviously, because that's what this is about. But
I'm
going to
go for Christmas movies.
Yep, mine's going to go to a Christmas movie. So the first one I brought up, Trick or Treat, horror movie, had some comedy. This one is a horror comedy. It is not the one Joe was thinking of. I did not pick that one.
Okay.
So Mike doesn't get all upset. I picked The Frighteners.
Amazing movie.
Love that
I
movie.
That movie's fantastic.
The special effects still hold up to today. It's ridiculous. If you haven't seen it, it's a 1996 comedy horror.
One of Guillermo... it was Guillermo del Toro? No, it was...
No, Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. One of yep. Peter Jackson's early movies.
Fat Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
As they say. Because when he does the intro on the new release, it's skinny Peter Jackson, and it looks super fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes an appearance in the movie, because he shows up in his movies like his idol did before him. But if you don't know the movie, it's super awesome. Michael J. Fox plays a gentleman named Frank Baxter, or Bannister, who is like a paranormal...
like a psychic?
Exactly. No, like a... No, it was like a... Like a it's almost like a, he's almost like a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, but he can see the ghosts.
Yeah, well, no one believes him, but yeah, he had
a near-death experience.
He can see the ghosts, and he has his team of ghosts that are with him. They're awesome. They ran the gamut from... being an old-timey Old West judge. They have a nerdy guy from the 50s. They have a dude from the 70s. Later, he gets joined by a guy that dies in the town and blames him, but it's not really his fault. And then the whole thing comes down like this one ghost is essentially killing all these people, and like it leads back to his... And it's all in one little town, and everyone like doesn't believe him that he's a... You know, some people believe he's a hoax, and just craziness goes on, and it's super awesome because like... There's ghosts humping, and then there's, like, ghosts murdering
but
ghosts.
It's one of those movies, too, where it starts off really light and funny, and it just progressively gets darker to the point where you can't actually consider it a scary movie by the end.
Actually, when it starts, it's very terrifying because it's in the house, in the mansion.
Oh, yeah.
It starts off with that, and then it jumps to, like, this weird, like, because you see this, like super
like
dark.
Intro, like, the pre-credits.
Like the cold opening, yeah. But then it jumps to, like, this super, like, oh, this happy-go-lucky town and, like, this fake ghosts, and you're like, ah, oh, it's super hilarious the way they do it. But super awesome special effects, especially for back in the day and, like, having no budget.
Oh, the scenes coming out of the wall?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, when he's, oh,
like
so
they,
awesome.
They bit that a little bit from Nightmare on Elm Street, but because of the times, they were able to do a lot better, and it looked a lot cleaner. Yeah. It was really creepy.
Yeah, it's super awesome. I love that movie. It's super, super fun to watch. There are some pretty terrifying things in it, too. Jake Busey's in it, and like I said, Michael J. Fox is in it.
Arlie Army
is in it.
Real quick, just so we get clarification, there are Big Trouble in Little China action figures. I can't find a total line that I'm showing the guys right now, a couple of them. The one I'm showing you, that's the best one.
It looks a lot like him until you
it
look at
it. Almost looks
like
mouth. Someone made it.
This one looks like a...
Are those real jeans?
Those are real jeans.
Yeah.
Ugh.
With, like, the clothes are actually fabric. But I can't find an actual line, like a set from line. Like, here's a Here's a picture set of a couple different characters. Got Jack Burton.
Yeah, like,
and
there's the Chewbacca's retarded cousin.
Yeah. He's super Chewbacca retardedy.
Yeah, like super downy.
But yeah, so if you're interested,
true, like,
Google image search Big Trouble in Little China action figures, and you can see how bad they look. Not the kind of action figures I would want to buy.
Not as bad as Cro-Magnum Wolverine.
I don't care. Oh, I want a collection of...
Yeah. Dude, next time we're there, we have to take a picture so we can show people what that is.
I might buy it. Just because it's so bad.
Don't waste your money on that.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. But every time I go by, I'm like, that's the worst. It is the worst toy I've ever seen.
It would be better
Give our listeners a little...
I will, but it'd be better if somewhere on that package said, brought to you by Geico. It would make more sense. Because he looks just like one of the cavemen.
Yeah, that's true.
There is a line of figures, which I don't even know who makes them. I know they're not McFarlane, because his standards are way better than that. But they're from the first X-Men movie. And they all of them are super awful. Actually, Sabretooth looks probably like the most
closest. There's a couple of them look pretty close. All the females are the same
body.
For this,
yeah, same body. They're just painted either black or white or lighter white or tan or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, pretty much the same body shape. And, like, it's super awful. They have the... After the senator gets turned into the jellyfish thing, they have the toy of that, and he's like super. It doesn't look like what it did because he's not clear, but he's squishy. The toy is squishy, and you can push it with the packaging. It's disturbing. The one I'm talking about is a combo pack with Wolverine and Sabretooth. So Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, which it says on the packaging, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
And there's a picture of Hugh Jackman on it.
Then you look at the figure for Wolverine, and he's got a giant Cro-Magnum head, these little beady eyes, and a little like small mouth.
Okay, to the point, the first time I saw the figure, I went, the hair piece is a separate piece, and it's not on the head correctly.
Nope.
No, you get it.
All one piece.
And everything is on it, assembled exactly how they intended it to be, only the hair stops. There's a good, probably, two quarters or about a quarter of an inch lift. Then his forehead starts.
Yeah.
And then that's the rest of the head. So his head literally has this giant L-shaped dent in it, whereas it's the worst action figure I've ever seen.
It's pretty really bad. I remember Lazy Eye Scarlet Witch from Black Widow.
Black Widow.
Man, so a newer one. I want to say it's not from the movie line because it had Ant-Man in it, but I think it's one of the newer lines of the Marvel figures. Yeah. And her eyes are painted super awful. Like, one's pretty dead on, but the one on the right just shoots off to the right. It's so fun. It's like, is she looking in two different places at once?
Yeah, she is.
A power I didn't know she had.
That's how she's so stealthy. Yeah. She knows what's on her side and in front of her.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, so gross. Back to what we're talking about. Rein this sucker back in. Before we go for round number three, my pick was The Frighteners. I love that movie. It's super fun. Again, not for kids because it is super violent and kind of has adult. It's not gory, though, really.
No, it's not gory at all.
The ghosts are getting like cut up, and so like, there's a little blood and things like that, and like a little bit of bad language. But I do believe I want to say it's PG-13.
It probably is, especially for the times.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be rated R. It doesn't say on here.
Yeah.
But it's super awesome. Special effects are super great. Performances are fantastic. Michael J. Fox it's that time period where Michael J. Fox kind of disappeared, though, like in the midnight, like the early 90s. Like, you didn't see him anymore for some reason. And it's before he was declared sick and things like that. But, like, it was weird. Like, I remember watching that in the theaters, confused on what it was because, like, we didn't know, but super, I loved it. It was awesome. But it's cool because, like, originally, it was supposed to be done like in 1990, if I can find where it talks about it. So, like, and then they couldn't get funding and no one believed in it. And then, like, Peter Jackson did some other stuff. And, like, he did, like, a bunch of crazy shit in Australia and New Zealand and stuff. And, like, got really popular over there. But, like, came out of nowhere and, like, did really well, if I'm not mistaken. Made its money back and, like, didn't make its money back. I lied. Budget was $30 million, made $29.3 million, so not even back.
But back then, too, even then, a lot of the money back came from home buys, VHS, DVD, stuff like that. And I think it did really good on that.
And if you don't go to look for it, look for the director's cut, because they added another 12 minutes of footage in, and it's actually really good footage, too. It's pretty cool stuff they add in there. So that's my second one. Michael, did you have anything to add for that one, or are you ready to go for your third one?
I really like that movie a lot. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while. It's super good.
We should watch it.
We should. We'll probably do it right after we're done talking about this.
Yeah.
To continue on and give my next movie, and I don't... There's... 100% honest, I don't remember a lot about this movie other than, no, like, I remember it. I couldn't explain to you, like, in detail exactly the story, like, all the story details. I can give you a good overview of it. But this movie freaked me out. I only watched it a couple times. It was Candyman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I love those movies.
Super fucked up movie. Starring Tony Todd.
The voice of the Fallen from Transformers.
Yeah. He was in
skip right over
the Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
He was
I
that.
Love that
Sushi
show.
Girl? Yeah. Sushi Girl?
Sushi Girl is fantastic, yeah. too. I was actually thinking about throwing that one on there. But like I said, I know it sounds weirdly, I can't like give you a scene for scene overview of the movie.
Because I haven't seen it opens his mouth so and the long. Fucking bees come out?
Yeah, there's just, I remember visuals from this movie. I couldn't tell you in detail the storyline, but I can remember every creepy visual, like when he's all stung up and fucked up at that
when
one
he dies.
Part.
Yeah, when he dies.
When he comes back, yeah, there's a scene where he opens his mouth and all these bees just start pouring out of his mouth.
Real bees in his mouth, dude. Like, go back to watch special. They actually put real bees in his mouth.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I was like, oh, that's some fucking commitment right there.
And it, like I said, it's all based on the visuals of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, stick with me. If someone says Candyman, I remember really fucked up scenes that I've seen in that movie, and it stuck with me for, I probably haven't watched it in like 8 or 9 years, but it's still one of those movies. If you say scary movies or if you say Candyman, instantly I have certain images and it sticks with you really well. You're a fan of it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I love that movie. As you can tell from the behind-the-scenes look. So, yeah, I remember that movie because I saw it in theaters, and we didn't sneak into the theater, but we didn't. I don't remember how we got in. We weren't old enough to see it at that point. I know we got in to see it, but it was at the theater where they didn't really care.
Probably just theater
back
hopping.
In the day, if you aren't as old as I am, they didn't really card you for movies, even though it was like rated R and stuff. Like I walked in and saw Showgirls, I remember.
Yeah.
Like, it was NC-17, and I was not 17 when it came out. And we went and saw it. The guy's like, yeah, whatever. You guys look old enough. I'm like, I look like I'm fucking 10, dude.
Oh, wow.
I still look like a 10.
Yeah.
But if I shave, not now. 10-year-old with a giant beard. I just remember, like, seeing Candyman and, like, fucking frightening. Oh, you know what? I actually do know how we saw that. Alex, my best friend at the time, his dad actually brought us to see it. He dropped us off, bought us tickets, and let us go in. So, yeah. Al, thanks for that.
Very nice.
Yep. Oh, well, he was awesome.
For
yeah.
Fucking me up emotionally.
Well, they're
for
also
the rest
ones
of my
like
life.
Let us watch a bunch of the crazy anime that you shouldn't watch when you're young, and they let us because they own a comic book store, and they're the ones that we read all the awesome comics and like, really, really ignited me. Like
the
when
Hook
I was a man.
Hand too.
Oh, the Hook. Oh.
He fucks some people up bad yeah. with that, and it all stems off like it could have been so easily avoided because this chick is trying to research a monstrous myth.
So
and
it's basically,
she knows what to do to summon him,
yep.
and fucking summons him.
Yep, because she doesn't Stupid. Believe that people are getting murdered that way, and like things. It's basically if you don't know the story of Candyman, I'll
starting
be
to come back to me as
yep.
I'm talking.
It's
about
basically
it.
Bloody Mary. So if you know the myth of Bloody Mary, you go in your bed, your bathroom, shut the door, turn the lights off, look in the mirror, you say the name 3 times, and then boom, she appears. And
I do remember you. my uncle Ronnie after watching it one time. He was bigger than me and stronger than me. He threw me in the bathroom and said if I didn't do the Candyman thing, he was going to keep me in there until I said it. And I was scared shitless that I didn't want to do it. That was my Uncle Ronnie. He was not the nicest guy to me sometimes.
What? Like, that sounds like he was perfectly nice to you.
But, yeah, I remember having to do that and then was so relieved when a big, giant black guy with a hook hand didn't kill me after I did it. So... At least that didn't happen.
Not yet.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I don't think I've seen this movie. And I don't... I remember...
I don't
I
think they played
seeing,
it in Canada.
I remember seeing...
Joe's Canadian?
It on TV when I was younger, and it really was one of those movies that I was just like, no, I have no interest in watching it at all. And I probably still don't.
Yeah. It's...
I'm not saying it's bad or anything.
It doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up at all?
No. It's the special effects nowadays, super cheesy and not great by any means.
Well, it came out in 1992.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So
and had a budget of what $12.18 or something like that.
$42.
Ooh, upscale. All went to fucking Tony Todd there.
Joe, your next one.
Joseph.
My next movie brings us to newer movies. Ooh. Most of this stuff, the that we've talked about so far. Latest happened in the 1990s.
Clapping.
And that movie is Cabin in the Woods.
Love it.
Such an amazing movie that it's horror and comedy and actually mystery all rolled up into one movie, because it begins and you're sitting there going, okay, I thought I was watching a horror movie, but where are these scientists coming from? And they're just driving in their little cart.
Did we talk about this on the podcast already?
Yeah, yes, we did. We did, because we're
okay, I thought it was like a drunk flashback or something. Was like
a deja vu.
On the sequels one, we were talking about maybe making a sequel. Oh, doing a sequel,
yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
I remember.
Just the fact that...
Sort of.
This story has never been thought of before. The fact that it takes all the tropes of horror movies and it kind of explains them to you. Why they're happening.
Completely flips them on their head. Like, so bad. I mean, if you haven't listened to our podcast we recorded that talked about this movie, I won't go into really detail about the movie itself, but yes, it, like, takes all, like, it basically literally takes all the tropes and, like, the ideas of all the other horror movies, throws them all in one, but gives you a reason why they're all in one.
And it makes sense. And yeah, it's absolutely definitely brilliant. And it's one of those things that, like I said earlier, you just sit there and go, huh. It's been, 50 years of Hollywood, and nobody's ever thought of doing that?
Yeah, and if you plan on watching this movie, if you haven't done so yet, and you're listening, you're like, I'm going to give it a try. Don't watch anything about it. Don't look it up online. And don't watch a trailer.
Don't let us ruin it from the other one. If you're listening to this one, and you've already listened to the other one.
Posted.
Not yet, but with some I go before, but I don't know. But if you listen to that one, that and we ruined it for you, I'm sorry. But we give you fair
spoilers warning.
Yeah, we give you fair. You could just pause that one. But if you haven't listened to that episode, and this is the one you listened to first, we're not going to spoil it like we did the last one. Don't go listen to the sequels one for franchising of our show. Go watch the movie, then watch that and listen to that one because it's awesome.
Yeah, and don't, and then, like, you know, I subscribe said, to don't iTunes look to give up us a good anything. Review. Don't ask people about it. Just trust us. Go, you know, rent it, download it, buy it, whatever you got to do. Watch it. And like I said, you don't want any of it ruined because it has one of the greatest, if not the greatest, twist at the end ever.
Yeah.
I had a weird epiphany just now. Well, even though we did do this on franchising sequels, thought of it. I don't know why I didn't think of it then. Maybe because my brain was working that day or something.
You were drunk.
So we're talking about, like, doing, like, a prequel for the movie and showing, like, another house or another thing.
Right.
What happens if they did a TV show based on the facility showing in every episode? They would just show another set of, like, you could do, like, an hour-long episode or, like, an hour-and-a-half-long episode, like, you know, British-style TV. Do, like, almost like a mini-series, do, like, 3 a year or something.
That'd be pretty cool.
And then show the different sacrifices in the different areas. Like, you could do the one in Japan, or you could do the one over here.
And that would have been more along the lines of what I wanted in franchising, where you see the other things.
Yep, exactly. I don't know why I didn't think of that before. That's genius. That's
a really good idea.
Oh, yeah. So good. I'm so good at this thing.
Genius. Just like this movie.
Yes. Too bad I thought of it, like, 9 podcasts later. I'm going to go back and edit that. I'm going to be like, yeah, I thought of this TV show idea. Haha, Joe, you're dumb.
Last one for you, Cody.
Get my DeLorean, get up to 88 miles an hour, and go tell myself the idea.
Michael J. Fox, get in.
Michael J. Fox, I'm not even on the right page. Ha ha. So I had a hard time because we're not going to be able to go through all of them that I had. I think I'm going to go back to It.
Really?
Not if you think about it. It, the movie It, Stephen King's It. So
are labeling It.
Yes, it is one of my top 5. Have you seen the whole movie? I have seen the whole thing. It's fucking terrifying for two reasons. One is that goddamn head in the refrigerator, and Pennywise.
Pennywise.
Yeah, the clown. Yeah. Pennyworth. Mm-hmm. Fucking
Alfred.
Alfred. Yeah. Alfred's fucking terrifying.
We did just Pennywise. Watch a Batman anime.
We did. So. Yeah, we that's in my head. So I love the movie It. It is... It's funny, and I'll tell you this. So obviously it's from my childhood when they made it, the 80s. For some reason, when I was growing up, watched way too many movies, confused this movie and Stand By Me.
How do you do that?
Think about it. When they were young kids and they do the flashbacks, I literally, like, the part where they go to the warehouse.
I can see that.
To be honest, though, Stephen King has kind of woven all of his books together. It's really absolutely weird, and I can't even think of how it goes because it integrates the Dark Tower series.
Yeah.
And some of his newer books, 1967, I think it was called, or the JFK Assassination one, which is an amazing read.
What's it called?
It was just the date that Kennedy was killed.
Yeah, I know. Shit.
Anyway, keep going.
Anyways, so I loved that movie. It was fucking terrifying. Giant spider, fucking creepy ass clown.
That's why I'm surprised you actually were able to sit through it.
It's funny because like the movie does terrify me, but it's one of my all time favorite scary movies of all time because it's fucking terrifying. It's
scary. Originally a TV movie, right?
Miniseries. Yeah. Which was okay. I don't remember it too much because I didn't really like it very much, but I fucking loved the movie because it was goddamn fucking terrifying, dude. So goddamn scary. Like, dude, when he's got the fucking, like, the little boat is going down the little sewage drain off, the storm drain, mm-hmm. and you see him, like, and you hear the laughter, and, like, all the kids, God, and you see the balloon, and, like, then you see him, and he's got the fucking sharp, nasty yellow teeth, and just like, oh, yeah, no fucking chance I'm getting near you, you creepy fuck. but I just like it because it's, like, it has, like, almost like a Friday the 13th feel to it, where, like, they were scared as a little kid of it, but then, like, shit's fucking real, and, like, they're having hallucinations, and, like, what I was saying, like, he opens the refrigerator door, and the guy's head's in there, and they go into, they fall into the woods, and they go into the storm drains, and this giant fucking spider, gross. The giant spider alone scares the shit out of me, because a spider that fucking big would be terrifying.
Yeah.
But then you hear the voice.
And then you throw fucking clowns on top of it.
Tim Curry's fucking, like, his voice he does for it is super terrifying and, just scares the shit out of me every time.
Too, you could read articles about it. Like, nobody would hang out with him on set because he was so creepy. And
because he lived in the fucking makeup, dude.
Yeah, he didn't stay in character. He wasn't going around killing people. Oh, but horrible. Can you imagine how awful that would have been?
Method acting.
I'm like De Niro.
Real fucking method acting.
But yeah, so you could, there's always, you know, these stories floating around how, you know, if in between scenes and stuff like that, he would kind of just stand off in the corner and sit there by himself because everyone was too scared to go talk to him.
It's fucking creepy, dude. The hands with the, because he had the gloves on, it looked normal, but he had the gloves off. It was like the creepy fucking scary hands with the claws and stuff. Oh, that fucking poster just terrifies me too. So many people that were awesome in that movie. Tim Curry was obviously amazing in that movie. But the cast is super fantastic. A lot of people will know. Tim Curry, obviously, plays Pennywise. It billed as a special appearance. Because Tim Curry wasn't in it a lot, like, as the clown. So, like, it wasn't that big of a deal. But, like,
again, goes back to the theory that we were talking about earlier, Jaws and the Xenomorph from Alien. I didn't see him a lot, but when you did, it packed the fucking punch, man.
Yep. That's goddamn sewer drain. But yeah, super awesome. I mean, just a bunch of awesome people in it, too. But yeah, I love that movie. It scares the shit out of me still to this day. Thinking about it, and I'm not looking at that picture anymore. I'm going to bring it up later. I'm like, Wikipedia. Oh, fuck. But yeah, I love it because it's super terrifying and not overly gory. Just like suspenseful and terrifying, like except for the refrigerator with the head in it because there's blood everywhere.
No, that movie really hit the suspense on right there on the head.
Awesome movie. So I guess that's it for those. If anybody else has anything too bad, we're at our hour or so.
Yeah.
But at the end of the podcast, we'd like to bring up a little business. So if Michael, would you like to bring up some talking about our business?
Yes, sir. Basically, all I want to say is, again, like I've been saying, we're still very young into this. We're getting some good traction, though, a lot of good feedback. But we need some more support. So a couple things that if you like this, you could please do for us. If you're getting this on iTunes, please rate and review us. We need a few more of those so we can get some traction on that. Go on Facebook. I know you have a Facebook. Everybody has a Facebook. Search for Comes Naturally Podcast. Give that page a like. We put up some stuff, a couple behind the scenes, but then it just really makes it easy. We put all the links for every show that we do, put it up there, so it's real easy to get. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@ComesNaturalPod.
And please feedback. We've gotten some. It's been really cool. But reach out to us, write a post on our Facebook page, ask us questions. If you have any questions, if you have any suggestions about whether what movie you'd like to see for Torture Theater, what kind of franchising ideals you guys might have, if you have an ideal for favorites that you think would be cool, please send them our way. We'll definitely take them into consideration and probably most likely do them. That's about it for that.
Yeah, that's it. So that is this episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
and I'm Cody. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you guys later.
Peace.